Hello, it's the year 2024. It's me, Matt Stewart, and we've sold out all four of our Do Go Ons live at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. But if you want to see me, you can do that. The show's called Dry Dryer, and we're at a new venue now. It's called The Grace Darling. Me and Sarenjaya Marnett, it's so much fun. The show's getting real good, I reckon. It's been heaps of fun, so we'd love to see you there. Use the discount code Do Go On for cheaper tickets. Also, we've now got the Do Go On quiz show. It's up online on the Stupid Old channel, so please check it out. Getting some lovely feedback so far. Please give it a watch, subscribe to the channel, maybe even comment on it, and, you know, feed those algorithm gods if you can. But love to see a Dry Dryer in Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane. Check out the quiz show. Anyway, let's get on with this show.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello and welcome to Do Go On, a show where we like to talk about something. And we is me, Dave Warnicki, and I'm here with the other two-thirds of the we, with Matt Stewart.
I'm one-third of the we.
The other third of the we is Jess Perkins.
Third we.
You are the third we.
No, that's kind of beautiful.
I saved the best we for last.
It's like, yeah, just before bed wee.
Yeah. Or the morning after wee.
Or the one after, like, you're out the shops and you're walking home after the train station. It's been ages since you've seen a toilet.
And wee. You're like, oh, I need to wee.
Oh, guys.
And then you have that moment of, ah.
I've got a wee story.
Yeah.
I think I,
Go on.
So, I was doing my silly little world record show at the Falls Festival over New Year's Eve. Mm-hmm. And in the show, me and a couple other comedian guys like to break made up world records, but the only record I feel I actually broke for the whole festival was because it's a camping festival and they didn't have any like toilets there, so you had to use port-a-loos, and I had this situation where every time you pee, like it was onto a paddle and then it would get to a certain weight and then it would dip. And I would just keep dipping. And everyone was counting how many dips they were getting. And everyone's like, yeah, 5, 6. And I'm like, I got 11.
11 dips.
And then the other guys in my camp and these people that we'd made friends with in the camp didn't really believe me. So I'm like, and I was a bit drunk. And I'm like, that's it. So I drank a couple of beers and like held on to the last possible second. And I'm like, that's it. We're going to the Portaloo. And I rounded up like 7 people.
And they watched you pee.
And we just left the door open. And then they just counted out triumphantly every time it did the dip. 1. 2. I got 14 dips.
Oh, that's great.
So, it's more impressive if you realize that you're only doing like 6 or 7. So, I don't know. It's probably a medical issue, but
I'm
so disappointed
I wasn't there. That's right up my alley. I would have found that so entertaining.
It was really fun.
I reckon I could have done more.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
Right, well, we'll find out.
Well, let's get a port-a-loo. Let's get a building work site.
Okay, let's do it. All right, we'll pause this now.
Yeah.
And we're back.
You guys go. I'll just do the report. You guys go do that.
Just talk to no one.
Yeah. It's probably more fun that way for me.
All right. Matt, let's get out of here.
Let's go early for a piss
on a paddle.
The paddle pissers. Yeah, the paddle piss boys.
It's unfair that pregnant women get to do all the paddle pissing. What about our chance? You piss on a paddle to find out if you're pregnant
or
not. Oh,
that's what you mean by paddle. Okay, I'm with you. It's a stick, but righto. Shall we?
Shall we? Well, what we the paddle piss club, as we have now been.
No, I like paddle piss boys, and I'm okay with being one of the boys.
All right, paddle piss boys.
Sounds like a crime fighting trio.
What we do on this show is we write a report about something. Can it be where you're related? It might not be at all. Who knows? And it is Jess's turn to report to Matt and I on something we don't know what you're going to talk about. Mm-hmm. Jess, you ready?
I'm ready. I'm ready to go. And we always start with a question.
That is right.
So my question this week to you lads is, who would you say is the biggest pop act of... probably, I was going to say of the 90s, but it branched into the 2000s as well.
Madonna.
So, no.
Oh, so not Madge. Okay.
Britney.
Not Britney.
Michael Jackson was still having some hits in the 90s.
But he was big in the 80s, right?
Okay, yeah. It's a group.
Oh, Backstreet
Destiny's
Boys.
Child?
No.
Backstreet Boys.
Spice Girls.
Spice Girls.
Spice Girls. I love them.
We are talking about the Spice Girls.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Whoa. That's walking at the car wash. What am I talking about? Anyway.
I think before you go too far into this, everyone has to say who their favourite Spice Girl is.
Of course.
Yeah. Oh, it's pretty hard to say. No, I've definitely got a favourite.
Yep.
Me, Mel C, Sporty Spice for Life.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Scary Spice Man over here.
Yeah, being scary.
I'm LB.
LB.
See, I was on the fence. I can't actually. Do you know what? I wanted to be Sporty Spice because I was a sporty kid, believe it or not.
So was I, and I still am. A sporty kid.
You weigh 52 kilos. The tennis racket is heavy for you.
well...
Table tennis is a challenge.
I'll take the criticism on board. I really will.
So I think I told myself I liked Sporty Spice, but definitely a baby Spice Girl.
A baby. Oh,
definitely
that's cool.
A baby. Yep.
Who do you think would win in a fight to the death?
Scary.
She's scary but sporty. Have you seen her do those backflips?
Yeah, but, and I've got, it's a fun fact from later.
Oh, great. Ooh. But no, don't ruin your fun facts now. All please, right. We'll call back to that later.
Oh, man, now I'm hanging out for fun facts already.
See?
Man.
Oh, were you big into the Spice Girls, Jess?
Well, that's the thing. So they sort of started in the early 90s, and I was born in 90. So when they first started, I was kind of a bit too young for them.
They
started
in the early 90s? I didn't know they went that far back.
Yeah. Wannabe is their first single. Was that 95,
96, maybe? Yeah. So I was 6 years old. Yeah,
so you can still appreciate them.
Oh, for sure. And I definitely liked them, but I wasn't fanatic. I wasn't huge on them. And I think what's kind of interesting about this is a lot of the topics that we do is like things that I know about, but I don't know how much I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's been kind of nice to like look at how they started and everything like that. So that's what we're going to do now.
Oh, man. I'm excited. I really do enjoy the music of the Spice Girls.
You know, there are different kinds of knowledge. There's known knowns, things you know. George Bush era report that came out about the war, about the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. There are known knowns, things we know. There are unknown knowns.
Mm-hmm. Things we know we don't know.
And then there's unknown unknowns, mm-hmm. things we don't know.
Okay, well as I
and
go...
that is the scariest part of this report.
As I go through this, you can tell me what level of known it is.
Yeah.
How about that?
Where was Posh hiding that weapon of mass destruction? Yeah. That's what I
want to
know.
That's what we all want. That's a big question. And will we get to it by the end of the show? No.
Find out on this episode of Do Go On.
Bum, bum, bum. Okay, so I'll start with their formation. Seems like a logical place to start.
Mm-hmm.
So in the mid-90s, there was this management team made up of Bob Herbert, Chris Herbert, and Lindsay Caspian. And they set about creating a girl group to compete with all the popular boy bands that were really dominating the music scene at the time. So you've got bands like Take That, East 17, big groups that were really dominating.
All right. All right, everything's going to be all right, all right, all right.
It's going to be all right.
Is that A17?
You better bloody hope so.
Me too.
So in February of 94, Heart Management, which was these three, plus they got financier, whose name was Chick Murphy, great name. So Feb 94, they placed an ad in The Stage, which was a trade magazine, asking, this is what the ad said. It said, wanted. Are you, and that's literally letter R, letter U.
Saving money, they pay per
smart,
letter.
Smart, 18 to 23 with the ability to sing/dance.
Oh, it was up until a couple of years ago.
Are you streetwise, outgoing, ambitious, and dedicated?
Yes.
Heart Management are a widely successful music industry management consortium, currently forming a choreographed, singing, dancing, all-female pop act for a recording deal. Open audition.
Wow. Oh, and did it say female, did it?
It's an all-female group, yes.
Damn, Matt.
And I've got the songs that the girls sang at their auditions.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so...
See, what was the brief? You had to bring in a song, do a dance?
You had to bring either sheet music so that you could be accompanied on a piano or a backing cassette.
Well, I would have brought a cassette because I am new school.
Yeah, you're not messing around. But then again, maybe some of that old school, you know. Anyway, Victoria Adams, as she was known, Adams, not Beckham, she sang Mine Her, which is like a well-known cabaret song.
Mine Her sounds like a Nazi song.
It's quite...
Mein Kampf.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking of. What's Mine? How do you spell Mine?
M-E-I-N.
All right.
Mel B, Scary Spice, she sang Greatest Love of All. Mel C sang I'm So Excited.
I'm so excited. Mm-hmm. So what's Mel B stand for? Brown.
And Melanie Chisholm. That's right. Very good. Now, so patronising, I'm sorry. Very good.
Well, she's my favourite. I should know her last name.
Did you?
Yeah,
I've got a younger sister who's about Jess's age, and she was all about Spice Girls.
I have a sister who's 3 years older, so she's sort of 8 when the first song comes out, and that's just perfect, yeah.
Perfect. Yeah,
or 9.
Yeah. So you were probably exposed to it a lot more. See, I have a brother who's 7 years older than me, so I would have been... at that age, trying to be like him. That's when I was really idolising him, so I did everything he did. So I probably didn't listen to the Spice Girls as much.
You were more of an E17 kind of boy.
Yeah, like Metallica, what he was really into at the time.
Okay, so I'm so excited. That's Mel C.
Jerry Halliwell saw the ad, but went skiing in Spain and missed the audition because her face was sunburnt. She didn't want to go to the audition with a sunburnt face.
Oh.
So she originally didn't even audition.
Okay.
Yeah, she sort of came in later in the process. So they go through this big process. I think they had something like 400 people turn up at the audition.
It doesn't even feel like that many, though, does it?
400.
That's a lot of people to whittle it down to 5.
If you're
from an ad in a paper.
But if you think about Australian Idol, they have thousands of people.
But that goes up on social media. That's, you know, and that's a TV program.
So that's what I'm saying. This is. Obviously, it's a bit smaller scale, but if you did a search now, you'd get thousands of people.
Yeah, that's true.
But from a newspaper ad, it wouldn't
but
just
I guess
be put in a
newspaper. Also, these days, they'd send a YouTube link and you'd be like, next.
Exactly.
But 400 people, they Turning can't up. Just walk in and you go, like, they probably instantly know who they don't want.
And it's an open audition.
They can't say, don't bother singing your song, mate.
You don't have to get your agent to book the audition for you. It's an open audition. Anybody turns up on the street.
So it is pretty much what Australian Idol or X Factor or something is, but without the TV cameras. But I think it's hard to be a band formed on one of those shows and still be big because you're sort of seen as a joke band from the start.
Mm, yeah, that's right. Whereas these,
although
these
girls, isn't that huge boy band now?
One Direction.
They came from one of those shows, I believe.
Yes, they did.
Well, they didn't win,
didn't they?
No, right. I think they came third.
Oh, okay.
And then they've made more money than all of those acts. So anyway, and so have we talked about Baby Spice's song?
No, because she did audition, but she was too young.
Emma Bunton. So she actually was about... How old was she?
18. The others are like 19, 20.
Oh, well, to be fair, they did say 18 to 23 open
they did.
Audition.
Oh, no, but I think... I don't think she made it through or was offered it and wasn't sure. Something like that.
Okay, so have other people been chosen then?
Yes. So they whittle it down into
Stuart
groups.
Sutcliffe.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. There is a Stuart Sutcliffe kind of person. So this is the final five by the time they've whittled it all down. So you've got the two Mels, Mel Chisholm, Mel Brown. You got Victoria Adams, Jerry Halliwell, and Michelle Stevenson. Ever heard of Michelle Stevenson? No one has.
Oh no! What kind of spice is she going to be?
I don't know.
Average spice.
Average spice. Do you know what Salt. They were originally called?
Oh, I read this recently.
No, I don't know. It's
a different name. They were called Touch.
Oh, that's gross.
So creepy, right? And they moved into this big house together.
Hold on, but they were going to be like, we're all different types of touch. I'm sensual touch.
Well, that's
I'm creepy touch. I'm unwanted touch.
I'm Uncle Jeff Tut. Sorry, Uncle Jeff.
Do you have an Uncle Jeff? Oh, I do. No, he's lovely.
Did you get onto where the Spice names came from? Yeah, cool.
Yeah, I'll get to that in a minute.
It wasn't. I don't think it was the band themselves that came up with them.
It wasn't. Those names were sort of given to them, and they just stuck.
I'm not surprised at all.
Yeah, so it's pretty interesting. So yeah, those are five.
So
of them.
Michelle Stevenson is number five.
They move into a house for the spring and summer. They're rehearsing all the time. I think the house was owned by one of the management people, so they've all moved in together.
Now it sounds like Geordie Shore or something. Yeah, they've combined all these reality shows without cameras.
It's so strange. So the Mels shared a room too. The two Mels, Scary Spice and Sports Spice.
And the others had their own rooms.
Victoria Beckham and Michelle Stevenson shared a room. Jerry Halliwell had a little room to herself.
So how did she get in if she didn't audition?
She did. Michelle?
No,
or Jerry. Jerry eventually. So she missed the original auditions. And then I think at like second or third level, she'd contacted them again and was like, can I please come and audition? And she did, and did really well.
Look, I'm not sunburned anymore. I've been skiing.
Yeah, I've travelled. I'm well-travelled. Right, so they're all rehearsing.
I'm well-travelled.
Well-travelled.
Me llamo Jerry Halliwell. Spanish for you guys.
So it soon became apparent that Michelle Stevenson did not have the drive and belief that the rest of the group did. That's how they worded it. Didn't have the drive and belief. She just wasn't fitting in. She wasn't gelling with the rest of the group.
Was Posh bullying her?
This is so brutal. You'll love this. So
Matt loves brutality.
So Bob Herbert, so one of the managers, he said she just wasn't fitting in. She'd never have gelled with it, and I had to let her go. However, Michelle has turned around later and stated that it was her decision to leave the group. She's like, no, it was my decision to go because of the illness of her mother, who was diagnosed with breast cancer, which is a perfectly reasonable excuse to leave. But then Victoria Adams, Beckham, later dismissed that claim, saying she just couldn't be asked to put in the work.
Oh, slammed her.
Oh, imagine if the story about the cancer is true. Well,
yeah, that's...
Hey, that's Matt, what she said, but Matt, it was just a story. Just
are you going to believe some woman called Michelle Stevenson or Posh Spice?
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Come on.
So
Posh just wanted a room to herself.
No, fair enough. So Michelle Stevenson is the first Stuart Sutcliffe. And there's another Stuart Sutcliffe in the Spice Girls history because...
Michelle Sutcliffe, his granddaughter.
Is this a Pete Best, maybe?
This is a Pete Best.
These are all Beatles people, if you haven't heard our episode about the Beatles.
Yeah, listen to the Beatles. I have a thing for British bands, obviously. So the management team, the Herberts, they searched for a replacement and first came across Abigail Kiss, who sang a soul song to the management, and 2 days later she was selected. They're like, you're great, you're going to fit in wonderfully. But she decided not to join the band, here we go, because she was too young and didn't want to have problems with her boyfriend having to live with the girls for a month.
One month?
Do
we know how things worked out with her and her boyfriend?
I hope it ended badly, like 2 weeks later.
Oh.
Or I hope they got married. And then the Spice Girls did really well, and then it just sort of slowly ate away at her. It's her own fault for being.
I hope she lived a great life and she's really well adjusted.
Nah,
she had,
fuck her. She fuck had, you, Abigail.
Abigail.
She had her first Abigail. Wedding dance to a Spice Girl song, What You Want or something.
To Become One.
To Become One. What You Want?
What You Want? Oh, I don't know what I want. That's Wannabe.
Wannabe.
More
no,
like,
fuck you, Abigail.
More like Abigail Kiss Millions of Pounds Goodbye.
Yeah, grow a pair. Tell your boyfriend to fuck off if he's not going to let you follow your dreams for a month.
Oh, the boyfriend stopped her.
Well, that's sort of the reason. She's like, I don't want to have problems with my boyfriend.
Oh, that's not good.
Well, get a better, less possessive, creepy boyfriend.
You listen to Wannabe. Yeah, if you want to be my lover, you got to get with my friends.
Oh, boy. Yeah,
and he was not into that at all.
He was not into that at all. So she goes, no, thank you. So then the Herberts were then led to 18.
So why did you audition, Abigail? Anyway.
Sorry, I don't think Emma Bunton did audition. I'm sorry, I think I got that wrong before. When I was thinking of Too Young, I think I was thinking of Abigail because they were led to Emma Bunton at the suggestion of a vocal coach whose name was Peppy Lemmer. Great name. So she was. She instantly impressed the Herberts, and she came and met the rest of the group in July of 1994, who apparently just welcomed her with open arms. Absolutely loved
her.
They
liked her.
Jerry Halliwell said, straight away, I knew she was the one. Isn't that nice?
Aww.
I knew she was one the of
one.
The five.
The one of the five. Right, so that's in July of 94, so then they're all rehearsing, you know, working on all sorts of things. And then in March of 95...
I've just got to know, is Emma Bunton in the same room as Posh?
I don't know. I don't think they were living together. I think they were.
How much have their lives been shaken up by the passing of Michelle Stevenson?
I don't think they had to live together forever.
Great. Okay. So they're kicking it large now. There's the five, the Fab Five.
So we get to 1995, and they start to get a bit frustrated with the management and their unwillingness to listen to their visions and ideas. So this management group has created them, and then the Spice Girls turn on the management group. And they're like, we want more control over...
And then they're all like, wow, we should have got Michelle Stevenson. She wouldn't have got together this revolution.
She was too lazy.
She was too lazy to rebel. She would have done what we said.
They parted ways with them. They bailed.
Got rid of the management.
Got rid of them. And to ensure they kept control of their own work, the group allegedly stole the master recordings of their discography from the management offices.
Before they
didn't even have a record label. They didn't have anything. They were just kind of working on stuff.
Well, I imagine that management group sued later on and got a lot of cash, right?
No.
Oh, my God. All right.
And that same day that they stole those and bailed on the Hart management, they tracked down Sheffield-based producer Elliot Kennedy, who'd been... They'd had this showcase earlier in the year, or so I think towards the end of 94.
I imagine it's just like a shitty shopping centre or something.
I don't know. They'd like invited a whole bunch of producers and stuff like that down. So this guy, Elliot, had been at their showcase, and they persuaded him to work with them.
As a
producer.
Producer.
And, yeah, go with that. So Elliot Kennedy. That's kind of cool. So then I think we all remember where we were on the 7th of July 1996 when the Spice Girls released their debut single, Wannabe, in the UK.
So they obviously got a record label as well and all that kind of stuff.
So they went from there. So 96, Wannabe comes out, and it was an instant hit, was aired up to 70 times a week at its peak. That's 10 times a day.
Oh, aired on TV?
On TV.
On one station.
I'm presuming.
You're talking about worldwide, because worldwide.
No, that's just
not
in the UK.
Much.
That's just in the UK.
How many music stations they have there? If they have like 100 there, then that's not that many times per day.
I think she's talking about film clip though, film not clip. Radio, not like radio. BBC radio.
But... Yeah, I'm saying that if they got like MTV One.
Okay,
MTV
but this
two.
Is like 96.
Yeah.
There were less options. You're being a shithead.
I know. Isn't that not clear? you've got V2.
They didn't have Foxtel in 96 in
Rage.
The UK.
They got Sky.
Anyway.
Music.
The song entered the charts at number 3 before moving up to number 1 the following week and staying there for 7 weeks.
Boom.
Wannabe sat at number 1 for 7 weeks.
Pretty good, Matt, for a debut single.
Proved to be a global hit, hitting number 1 in 37 countries.
Whoa.
Becoming not only the biggest selling debut single by an all-female group, but also the biggest selling single by an all-female group of all time. So Wannabe is...
The biggest selling...
Biggest selling by an all-female group of all time.
Cop that, Bananarama.
Oh, don't cop that, Bananarama. Nah, cop it.
So riding the wave of the publicity and hype, there's just so much happening around them at the time. They released their next singles in the UK and Europe. So in October, Say You'll Be There was released, topping the charts at number 1 for 2 weeks. And in December, To Become One was released, becoming their first Christmas number 1.
I need somebody like I've never needed love before. Wanna make love to you, baby. I had a little love. Oh, my God. I don't know.
Thought we promised the listeners no singing on this episode.
Make your spirit free.
Set your spirit free.
It's the only way to be. I really didn't think I was going to get that far, but I reckon I have a lot of Spice Girls in my brain.
That's impressive. That's very good. Are you going to do Two Become One?
When two become one, I need some love. And
all right, here we go. I once heard...
Wait, is that it? If I merge that into another song?
I once heard that Two Become One, that's obviously quite a sexual song.
Yes.
But when they're like, put it on. Talking about a condom. That's what someone once told me. Is that true?
I think so.
Have you thought about that?
I didn't write the song, so I can't confirm that.
Have you ever thought that? That blew my mind.
I thought it was about like some sort of one of those crazy, you know, mad scientists sewing two humans together kind of scenarios. And then he was saying put it on. He was talking about like
turn
the head onto the body.
The corpse.
Yeah. No, not a corpse. It's another living human.
Just without a head.
But the head is dead. It's off a dead corpse, but they're able to keep the brain going by putting it on the shoulder of the...
That's probably more what they meant, yeah.
Yeah.
Tonight is the night.
Tonight's the night for Frankenstein.
I love it. That's very good.
Okay. So Two Become One becomes their first Christmas number one. It sold 430,000 copies in its first week. This is before Apple downloads.
People physical CDs.
Yeah, making it the fastest selling single of the year. And those two tracks continued the group's remarkable sales by topping the charts in over 53 countries and cementing the group's reputation as one of the biggest pop acts in the world. That's pretty crazy. It's just amazing how quickly, like, so this is still only in
1996.
Yeah, 96.
And how old are they? They're early 20s.
Early 20s.
And Emma Bunton's what, like 7?
She's only like a year or two behind them.
Oh, is she actually not that young?
She started out literally as a baby.
Yeah, Baby Spice.
She came in as an infant.
Mm-hmm.
Not an infant, a baby. I just said baby. Is an infant and a baby the same thing?
Yes.
Yes, good.
Well, you have a baby. You should know that.
It's bloody semantics, isn't it?
Baby, Barbie, potato, potato. In November 96, the Spice Girls released their debut album, which was called Spice.
Spice, yes.
Very good. So that was released in Europe in 96.
And it had a cover. It was all white and it had a ring on it. Maybe? No.
I think it just says the word spice with them inside the letters. S-P-I-C-E, isn't it?
Oh, they're inside the letters.
Why are you winking at me when you say that? Stop it. So they were like hugely successful and people drew a lot of comparisons to Beatlemania, which we sort of spoke about on the Beatles episode.
I feel like every time a band becomes big in the UK, they're like, it's the new Beatles.
There are a lot
Oasis.
Of ties, yeah. People compare the Beatles to the Spice Girls quite a lot. And there's a few little things where it comes up. So in 7 weeks, Spice had sold 1.8 million copies in Britain alone, making the Spice Girls the fastest selling British act since the Beatles.
Okay,
fair comparisons. In total, the album sold over 3 million copies in Britain, the biggest selling album of all time in the UK by a female group, and it went 10 times platinum. That's crazy.
So they could have two platinum records each on their wall.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Well, that's quite nice, isn't it?
Two each. But you probably give one to Elliot Kennedy, the producer.
Whatever, Elliot Kennedy. So that...
Probably send one to Michelle Stevenson.
Fuck that.
But like a big... like.
One to Abigail as well.
Yeah. Kiss my platinum record.
Hope your dickhead boyfriend's dead. Alrighty, there it is. So in that same month, so this is like November. This is just to give you an idea of how quickly their star power had grown. They were invited to switch on the Christmas lights in Oxford Street.
Oh my God.
In London.
That is big.
Yeah, that drew a crowd of 500,000 people.
That's
that sounds
big.
Like a lot of, is that a lot of
that's
people?
That's a lot of people.
Matt, that's 500,000 people. Do you understand?
How many Olympic swimming pools is that?
Full of people.
How many MCGs is that?
Well, it's 5 full MCGs.
There you go. That's a lot of people, Matt.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Well, they saw him turn it like a switch.
I know. So why would you turn up for that? But okay.
That sounds ridiculous.
Right. So they're getting pretty popular.
It must be in like... actually awful to become popular that quickly.
So
it would
fast.
Be very hard to deal with it.
It'd be so overwhelming. And you're still figuring out what you're doing and, oh, it's crazy.
It would also, you'd be so aware how unjustified it was as well. So
yeah.
Like, I've slowly worked hard for this. Yeah. I deserve this.
Yeah.
You'd be like, yeah, I'm a massive fraud.
I just turned up to an audition.
I answered an ad and then when they weren't too good, they left the mansion and...
Yeah,
they're
going to
find me out eventually.
Yeah, you would feel like that, but it just kept going. So in January of 97, they released Wannabe in the United States, and that sort of proved to be like the catalyst in helping the Spice Girls break into the US market, which was notoriously difficult. Debuted on the Hot 100 chart at number 11 in the
pretty
US,
good.
Which is pretty good. At the time, that was the highest ever debut by a non-American act. Beating the previous record held by who do you reckon?
Hootie and the Blowfish. Are they Canadian? No, they're American.
Probably the Beatles.
The Beatles with I Want to Hold Your Hand.
Who? Yeah, the Who.
Hootie and the Beatles. so they're beating the records of the Beatles in terms of their US debut, which is pretty cool. In Feb of 97, Spice was released in the US, so the album was released, became the biggest selling album of 1997 in the US, peaked at number one.
Wow.
Was certified 7 times platinum.
And that means 7 million, by the way. A platinum record in the US
million.
Is a million copies.
Yeah, well, it's for sales in excess of 7.4 million copies.
That's so many million.
That's so many million.
Matt?
That's a lot of, like, that's 7 million.
That, I reckon I 7...
we can be specific. You're saying so many million, but I reckon we can be specific. You can go here one better. And say, that's 7 million.
Very good.
I reckon you could fill an Olympic swimming pool with that many CDs. Do you reckon?
I wonder how many.
7 million. Depends how big the case is, the deluxe editions, etc.
Yeah, no, true. And if there's like a box set that comes with a poster or something, I imagine.
Yeah. It's a nightmare logistically to fill that pool. Yeah,
it's just, and you know what? Wasteful. Mm. Have to empty the pool, put in all their CDs. Come on, we've got better things to do.
Come on, we've got lights to turn on. Come on.
Spice, the album in total, sold 28 million copies worldwide.
That's just too many.
Becoming the biggest selling album of all time by an all-female group. 28 million copies.
Yeah, it keeps sounding so good.
Now it mentions all-female.
Well, not just all-female, but all-female group. So there's more... There's female solo singers with more.
Maybe, yeah, like Shania
there's
Twain.
Groups with some female, some male, like Step Club 7.
How many albums have you sold, Matt?
S Club 7 would not have outsold Spice Girls.
Well, they could have, though, because that doesn't...
Ain't no party like an S Club party! But,
an all-girl group means everybody not necessarily. They would have, but not necessarily.
Also, I think a mixture is probably like Fleetwood Mac, I reckon, may have sold more.
First one that came to mind was Step Club 7, so that's not my fault.
And are you calling them Step Club 7? Because it's S Club 7.
Steps is a different band. Can I go on?
Please do go on.
All right, so they're just some shitty popular all female group, and later that month, so this is just in Feb. How long?
Sorry, it's only been 7 months.
Feb of 97.
And they released the first one in the album in the UK in July 96.
Yeah. And they only made their when was the first song? 96 as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, July 7th, 1996, he said. So 7 months later, they've already... Wow, it's insane how popular they've become.
It's crazy. Right, so they won 2 Brit Awards for Best British Video for Say You'll Be There and Best British Single for Wannabe.
Say you'll be there, I need somebody that can never need love before.
Is that 2 songs together? That's definitely 2 songs together.
And it was at the 97 Brit Awards that Jerry Halliwell wore that famous Union Jack mini dress.
Because every time I imagine her, she's wearing that. But does she wear that any other time?
She's worn it a few extra times because it was so popular that time. It became one of pop history's most famed outfits. And actually,
did people start wearing it on the street, like, as an outfit?
I don't know. I think it sort of made Union Jack stuff a bit cool.
I had a music dress-up birthday party.
I think I was going to say music dress.
And some friends came as the Spice Girls, and yeah, this is the Union Jack dress.
Well, it might have been.
Who were you dressed as? I want to know, Matt.
I wasn't. In the...
One of the Spice Girls. Who would have been?
Sorry,
Ginger, obviously.
I was there as Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, that is awesome. Yeah.
That's very cool.
What were other people dressing up as? So I'm just really intrigued by these little kids dressing
Andy
up.
Andy Matthews came as Annie Lennox.
Oh, how long ago was this?
Like a year and a half.
Nice. I thought you said I had a birthday, and I imagine you.
I said a couple of years ago, but
I think you got it in your head that it was a kid's party.
I thought you were 9 years old. That's what I imagined, and then you start mentioning people that I know.
Bruce Springsfield.
That's what I meant. Like that's why I thought
as a 9 year old that'd be pretty cool.
That would be so badass. All right, please do go on.
Well, if your friend who came as Ginger Spice was wearing the original dress.
Oh, it's worth a lot of money, isn't it?
A lot of money. It became one of the most prominent symbols of 90s pop culture, and the dress was sold at a charity auction to Hard Rock Cafe in Vegas for a record amount, which gave Halliwell the Guinness World Record for the most expensive piece of pop star clothing ever sold. Do you want to have a crack at how much it sold for?
Yeah.
It's in pound.
Okay, let me think about this, because I know that the most expensive dress ever sold was worn by Audrey Hepburn in Breakfast at Tiffany's.
It's a good dress.
And how much was that?
And I think that is close to $1 million, which is about £500,000. So I'd say probably £300,000.
I'm going to say, because I was thinking, I'm just going to go crazy. I'm going to go over your head here. I'm going to say £2 million.
I will really disappoint you. It was £41,320.
Yeah, what I said was fucking stupid.
Matt, you just blew a fortune on a shitty dress, man. What are you doing? You're not a good investor.
I'm not good at an auction. I get a rush of blood. I'm putting my hand up for everything.
Yep. Also, £2 million. Oh, fuck.
What have I done?
That's a lot.
Just a dress.
Pounds are worth more than Australian dollars, aren't they? Not less.
So she's in her own little subcategory. So that's just for the pop star clothing ever sold. Still pretty good. Still pretty good. She didn't get that money, obviously. So.
£41,000 is a lot of money.
For a dress.
For some reason, I'm just like, oh, expensive. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
Why would Jess bring it up if it was only like $40,000? She wouldn't. It's going to be ridiculous.
And
Jess wouldn't waste our time unless
$40,000
it was millions of pounds.
And it wouldn't be the Guinness World Record for £41,000. I mean, anyone could buy a Guinness World Record. I'm going to bloody buy Matt's T-shirt. I'll offer you £50,000. Pop culture history. Yours. Bang. World record holder.
Podcast history. That's most right. expensive item of podcast star.
If you paid $5 for a T-shirt, it'd be the most expensive podcasting T-shirt
yeah, you'd
ever.
You'd have to go 500. Okay, so moving on. So we're now into March of 97. So it's still... So what have you written down there, David? What was July 96? Is that the album or
first,
the first single?
First single.
Okay, yeah.
So they're only in March. And they've been around for 8 months.
Yeah. The double side of Mama and Who Do You Think You Are was released in Europe.
Mama, I'm not familiar with that.
Mama, oh. I love you. It's really...
Oh, yeah, it's Mama. Slow.
That was released, which once again saw them at number one, making the Spice Girls the first group in history since the Jackson 5 to have 4 consecutive number one hits.
Boom.
Is that in America or in...
Well, that's in Europe. That was released in Europe.
Right.
So then they released a book later that month. Seriously, they've been around 8 months.
A book.
They've got a
book.
Because
I remember
Girl
the,
power.
The thing to have when I was in primary school was... a Spice Girls pencil case.
Yeah, big time.
And inside was a Spice Girls rubber, Spice Girls pencil, mm-hmm. and Spice Girls sharpener. Did you have that?
I did not. But actually, I had like a pencil tin.
Heaps of girls in my class had that. It was white. It looked like the album.
Yep. I've got fun facts about some of the merchandise as well that they had.
Nice. But now they've already got a book. What's the book
about? They've got a book. It's called Girl Power. And it's the Spice Girls' first book and manifesto. I don't know why you need a manifesto.
Oh, wow.
8 months in.
Usually manifestos are for mass murderers.
Well, it was launched and it sold 200,000 copies within a day. It was eventually translated into more than 20 languages.
Matt, how many languages do you speak? I love how we keep impressing Matt with this fact.
Hey, Matt.
Mm-hmm. One and a bit. I was just thinking,
what's the bit?
What about Wayne's manifesto? He was no serial killer. That's all I'm going to say on the topic. It's a kid show from probably before your time.
Oh, I was going to say, I don't know what that is.
What's the bit?
The bit, I did 4 years of Italian, I did mm-hmm. 2 years of Indonesian, and I did 2 years of Mandarin.
So you've put all of those together as a bit.
That's a bit, yeah.
You dabble.
I wouldn't say I speak any of those at all.
Sure.
But in somewhere in my brain, like if I remember, I've given you everything.
Right, now in Indonesian.
If I remember that in my brain for some reason, I've got to remember Selamat Pagi or something
Selamat
in Indonesian.
Selamat Pagi, yes, good call.
But I don't know. What does that mean?
I think it's like hello.
Okay.
Or good morning. It's a greeting.
In Indonesian?
Yes.
Right. I was going to say, because I don't recognize that.
Oh, okay. How many languages do you speak, Dave?
45.
Wow.
I'd list them all, but it will take too long. Please do go on.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether it's your first ever website or your business is expanding, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website and engage with your audience.
Jess, before you jump in, Dave, can you say entrepreneurs again? It sounds so good.
Entrepreneurs.
Oh my God.
God, he's good.
Jeez.
If it feels a bit overwhelming to start your own website, don't worry. You can get help with written content on your website with Squarespace AI. Generating instant, personalized results that know and show your brand identity. You explain what your site's about, you choose your tone, you enter what you need, and you get short and long form text. How cool is that?
Oh my God, can Squarespace just do my life?
It'd be good if it could do my taxes.
Hey, you can easily manage your clients and invoices. Two things that I definitely have, from vetting leads to receiving payment via invoices in one streamlined and customizable workflow.
Sorry, Matt, can you pronounce streamlined for me again?
Streamlined.
Beautiful.
Was that closer?
Yeah, in that it was the word.
Okay.
And not streamlined. You can also sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell membership or courses, or you can sell files that your customers can download, like PDFs, music, ebooks.
Right, Jess, can I just get you to say the word courses again?
Courses.
Nailed it. Head to squarespace.com/dogoon for a free trial and to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/dogoon.
Oh, my God.
So in October of 97, the Spice Girls released the first single from Spice World, which is their second album, Spice Up Your Life. Spice Up Your Life!
That's a fun one.
That's fun.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It entered the UK charts at number one on the 19th of October, making it the group's fifth consecutive number one hit single.
Is that a new record?
Nah.
Because wasn't there a time where the Beatles had like the top five?
They top three, I think.
No, five.
Five, was
pretty
it?
Pretty sure it was five.
It was my podcast.
All right.
I don't remember. It might have been, four or five. You might be right there.
It was something stupid. So I imagine the Beatles probably did stuff like that before.
Yeah. And so then they went on a bit of a tour. Their first live major concert.
So they didn't do concerts for the first
album. I think
they
kind of had, but it was, this is sort of in tour, like leaving the UK. They hadn't really done that yet. So they went to Turkey, naturally. Performed for 40,000 fans.
Well, they must have just looked at where the albums were selling well and gone.
Off we go. We'll go to Turkey.
It's a growing economy. We'll cash in on that.
This is one of my favourite things that I read. Later, the girls travelled to South Africa and they got to meet Nelson Mandela, who announced, "These are my heroes."
You're kidding.
Nelson Mandela.
Are you serious?
Said the Spice Girls were his heroes.
Well, he would never lie. He would never use hyperbole.
In what way would he?
I don't know. What?
Musical
These
heroes.
These are my heroes.
These are my heroes.
Does he love pop music?
He must have.
Is he into girl power?
Well, who isn't into girl power?
That's a good point.
November, they released their second album, which was Spice World. So they've released a couple of...
And is there a movie tie-in yet?
Coming. It's coming.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I can feel it.
Yeah.
In my waters.
So even this album, Spice World, was, just a global bestseller. So it set a new record for the fastest-selling album when it shipped 7 million copies over the course of 2 weeks. Got heaps of really good reviews. The album went on to sell over 10 million copies in Europe, Canada, and the US, and 20 million copies worldwide. Doesn't make sense, does it? Yeah, combined. Yeah. 10 million in those combined, yep. It was actually quite criticised, though, in the United States. They were criticised for releasing the album just 9 months after their debut in the States because they'd kind of released their album, obviously, earlier in the UK.
And people were like, stop giving the fans more music.
Well, that's the thing. They were kind of...
What's the problem?
They were saying it was like... they were getting that sort of backlash, like, well, you've only just arrived here and you've already got another album. Like, settle down. And they were suffering a little bit of overexposure at home. Like, there was just too much Spice Girls. So they began to experience quite a bit of media backlash. And they were really criticised for the number of sponsorships deals they signed for, which was like over 20 in total for all sorts of different brands and companies and stuff like that. They were not afraid to sell out. They would put their name on anything.
They were a manufactured girl band. Like,
what
are they selling out? Their legitimacy?
Well, they are Nelson Mandela's heroes, let's not
forget. Exactly. So, if they're going to sell some Pepsi, so be it.
Those boy bands and girl bands never have a long shelf life.
Yeah.
Not in the not 90s, like the modern style. So just
cash in
while you can.
Mm. No one's judging you.
Unless it's like fucked stuff. I imagine they weren't.
No, it's nothing fucked. There's some funny ones, and I'll mention those later as well.
Part of fun fact.
But then again, this comes to a date that we all remember. Obviously, the 31st of May, 1998.
Ginger left?
Yeah.
Oh, so that's the
day. Jerry left. Well done.
The day the music died.
The day the music died. Jerry Halliwell announced her departure from the Spice Girls.
Wait, in 98?
98.
Fucking hell.
2 years.
So it all happened in... Jesus.
That's less than 2 years after the first single.
Crazy? They've blown up so quickly. I had no idea.
So that's less than 2 years. So let's just do a timeline. So July 1996, Wannabe comes out. Fast forward to May 1998. Jerry's gone.
Jerry's gone.
That's crazy.
She's out, and she's announced it.
And they let her sleep in her own bedroom and everything.
I know. They did everything.
I'm still
for
imagining
her.
That they're still sharing bedrooms, even though they've become multi-millionaires.
Are you imagining them living on the Spice bus?
They're all in, like, they're just, like, cramped together. Like, guys, my bank balance is £15 million.
Can we not
buy
just
a
get
house
set
of my
beds?
Own?
Yeah. No, and but
like, nah, Jerry, stay in that tiny little room.
What I liked is that she announced it through her solicitor.
Oh, wow.
She stated, sadly, I would like to confirm that I have left the Spice Girls.
There must have been some serious problems.
This is because of differences between us. I'm sure the group will continue to be successful, and I wish them all the best.
Did she say any differences?
Well, the differences are, I think of myself as a ginger Spice, which is very different to, say, a sporty or a scary Spice.
I'm surprised that we could continue to do a podcast knowing that we have such different opinions on who the best Spice Girl is.
Look, I asked the question, then I just said one. Oh, look, I should really commit to that, shouldn't I? Mel B is the best because she has
great hair,
attitude,
mm-hmm.
coming out the wazoo. Okay. And I think some of the others...
We don't need to talk about her wazoo.
Some of the other guys, you know, they're a little bit... sit backish,
mm-hmm. A little bit posh for you.
Yeah, a little posh or a little bit baby for me.
A little bit young.
Or a little bit sporty or a little bit
English.
Ginger.
Sure.
Are we going to talk about the names later?
Yes.
Okay, great. I was going to say, because Ginger's
got
always...
well.
Yeah, that is weird.
We'll get to it. So, Ginger's gone.
She's gone. And so she claimed she was exhausted, wanted to take a break. It shocked fans, obviously. People were pretty devastated about it. And
I can imagine. Did you cry, Jess? Be
no.
honest.
It was 98.
Because a lot of people did. I'm sure that you can find footage of people crying.
Sure.
Like when a dictator dies.
Sure. Same thing. Jerry Halliwell, dictator.
Honestly, Dave, though, there are bigger issues in the world.
Oh, I've got to keep reminding myself of that, of course.
There were rumours that she was fighting with Mel B.
See that, Matt? You're always causing problems.
But the thing is, like, her leaving the band was, it was major news. Like, it was covered by media all around the world. It was in the covers of magazines.
So it
was
it should
on newspapers.
Be.
It was huge. And then she went on to do her solo career. I am going to go into, like, what each of them has done post-Spice Girls as
including,
well.
Including Mel C's duet with Bryan Adams.
That's, yeah, of course. So they released a new song, Goodbye, before Christmas of 98, and the song was seen as a tribute to Jerry Halliwell.
Oh, I thought that might be
like
it. So she's... and Jerry
tribute.
Halliwell's not in Goodbye.
She's not in it. No, she's gone.
How does Goodbye go? Would
I don't know. I don't think I know Goodbye.
So they pretty much just fell off the face of the earth after Jerry Halliwell.
Kind of. Like, well, they started
I think there's a third album coming.
There is. But so when they released Goodbye, it topped the UK singles charts, became their third consecutive Christmas number one, equaling the record previously set by...
Barry White. I mean, the Beatles.
The Beatles. So they just keep bloody catching up to them Beatles. So then this sort of skips ahead a little bit. That was sort of Christmas of 98. I'm not sure what they were doing for 99. Probably just travelling and stuff. In November of 2000...
Probably just took a gap year. Worked in a coffee shop.
They had a lot of stuff on. They released Forever. So
the final album, Forever.
The final album. Sporting a new, edgier R&B sound, the album received lukewarm responses.
Oh,
it was not
too edgy.
Good. In total, Forever achieved only a fraction of the success of its two best-selling predecessors.
Here's a fact. I don't want to toot my own horn here, but I was once in a band that recorded a song with a guy that worked on Forever.
Get out.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Pretty sure he's just like an engineer-type person on the record, but
toot
still.
Away, Dave.
Still good.
Toot away.
Yeah, toot, toot.
Keep tooting.
Very good. So it only sold 5 million copies.
Oh,
only.
What a paltry album.
Yeah. Blah.
You may as well, Matt, if you're only selling 5 million, like when this show only gets 4 million downloads, I pretty much will delete it from iTunes because...
I will kill myself
what's the
if
point?
This only gets 5 million.
I don't even know what I'd do.
I will kill everyone.
What a threat. So please tell your friends.
Or you're all going to die.
Well, you know, you want that? You want that on your conscience?
Mm. By not signing up 5 million friends to subscribe?
What could you have done? You could have saved the world.
Oh, my God.
In December 2000, guys, this is when the day
came. Oh, the day
the music really died. Like, before it was dead, now it's dead.
So, the album, what was the third album called?
Forever.
And that didn't have any songs that anyone would know now?
Oh, I'm sure it would, but I don't have a list of them. I don't think there was any of their really good ones.
Right.
So it came out in November, and in December, they sort of unofficially announced that they were beginning an indefinite hiatus. We'll be concentrating on their own solo stuff, but they were like, we're not splitting up. It kind of sounds like parents splitting up, like we still love you, and it's not going to change anything.
Please keep buying the sweet merchandise.
We just need a little bit of time and space, okay? Right, so 2000, the music died, and our lives have been meaningless ever since. End of podcast!
Well, that was great.
Jokes, I've got more. So
God, what a twist.
Now we skip ahead a little bit to 2007, where they held a press conference revealing their intention to reunite.
2007?
Really? 7 years later, reunite. There'd been rumors floating around for ages, speculating that they were going to get together, but they finally confirmed it, and they embarked upon a worldwide concert tour starting in Vancouver.
I don't remember that happening at all. Do you?
Yeah, it happened.
No.
So did they come to Australia?
I think so. I believe.
Hey, Spice Girls, just promise you'll always be there.
Ticket sales. Here we go. This is a fun fact. This is an early fun fact for you.
Okay.
Ticket sales for the first London date of the Return of the Spice Girls World Tour sold out. How long do you reckon it took them to sell out?
Three and a half weeks.
Three and a half weeks. Probably 45 minutes.
It's under a minute.
Are you serious?
38 seconds.
To sell out how much?
To sell out their first London show. So I'm not sure how many tickets it would be. Yeah, it was O2 Arena.
It's like 15, 20,000 tickets or something.
In 38 seconds.
Come on, Matt. That's impressive.
Yeah.
Look, it's pretty good. I'm not arguing with you.
If you did that at your comedy festival show, you'd never have to work again.
Mm-hmm. And also, I think around that time, they teamed up with Simon Fuller, Judy Kramer, and Jennifer Saunders of French and Saunders fame.
Yes.
To develop a Spice Girls musical entitled Viva Forever. Now, the group weren't in the musical, obviously, but they influenced the show.
And was there 5 Spice Girls in the musical?
No, I think it's more to do... It's a jukebox musical.
Oh, they're the worst kind.
So that is a stage or film musical that uses previously released popular songs as its musical score.
They try and write the movie around like a Green Day album or something.
Exactly. So it's not the story of the Spice Girls. It's just a story, but the music is all Spice Girls music. So that's kind of cool. It was written by Jennifer Saunders, so that's nice.
So when was this jukebox musical?
That was at the end of 2012.
Okay. Is it still going?
No. Sadly, no. I don't know.
We missed our chance.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what happened, but I looked on the website for the musical and there was a note that despite rave reviews and standing ovations most nights, we're just unable to go on. So they stopped it. And there was a little note down the bottom, if you've purchased tickets for this particular date, you need to contact this number because you weren't going to be able to go.
Oh, they just had to
pull it. They just
stopped
it. Brutal.
And it was ironically called Viva Forever.
And it did not last forever at all.
It lasted not long at all, right.
Also in August 2012, after much speculation... Probably one of the best things that's ever happened to me in my life. The group performed a medley of Wannabe and Spice Up Your Life at the 2012 Summer Olympics closing ceremony in London.
London one.
The London Olympics.
But did Posh perform?
They were all there.
Did Posh perform?
They were all there.
At the London... I thought that she'd given it... So,
no.
And what
about
this
all Posh there, but that's thing, like, well? Well, they'd all disbanded. And
what
then,
about
like,
the 2007 tour? Was Posh there?
Yes.
Because she's so rich, she just doesn't... Like, the others probably need the money a lot more than she does.
But isn't Jerry the one that left?
Jerry left, but then they were given awards and stuff like that, and then only sort of one or two of them would show up. It was sort of rare that they were all together, but they were all together for the Olympics. And
really
they reunited just for that event. But this is what's interesting. Their performance received huge response from the audience. It became the most tweeted moment of the Olympics with over 116,000 tweets on Twitter per minute.
Whoa. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that insane? Good. Just people going nuts for the Spice Girls. So that's pretty cool.
Is that still a thing? Like every minute, is it still 116,000 tweets about that moment?
Probably. They're all from me.
3.5 years on, people are still tweeting
at that rate. Still good. So yeah, so they only released three albums. So we're kind of done with their timeline up to now. This isn't really that anything they're doing now. So Spice in 96, Spice World in 97, and Forever in 2000. That's it.
Has there been rumours of them doing another world tour?
Yeah, there's been rumours. I don't think.
I thought they might be teaming up with someone.
Not that I'm aware of. I could be wrong. I'm
never
wrong.
Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that.
You asked before about the nicknames. Where
yes,
they came
I'm just,
from.
I'm just wondering.
So, in the summer of 96, this is back when they first started, they had a lunch meeting with the editor of Top of the Pops magazine, whose name was Peter Lorraine. Lorraine! and he sort of inadvertently led the Spice Girls to adopt these nicknames because it's sort of how he referred to them as a, in the article that he wrote. So he said, in the magazine we use silly language and came up with nicknames all the time, so it came naturally to give them names that would be used by the magazine and its readers. It was never meant to be adopted globally. Isn't that kind of cool?
So the magazine actually published it saying,
yeah.
And then there's the one who looks real scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's brutal, that one.
Oh, no, the other one. Oh, well, baby, sporty, why, posh. Too. Oh, okay, yeah.
So Victoria Beckham, or Adams as she was then, she was called Posh Spice because of her more upper-middle-class background, her choppy brunette bob hairstyle and refined attitude, form-fitting designer outfits, and her love of high-heeled footwear.
Ooh, I'm very posh. Posh, really, aren't I? Yeah.
That's not how she would talk. She's actually
no,
posh.
No, right. Yeah, she's got a... She doesn't have a posh accent, does she?
She's a bit more posh than
Hello,
who's next, Melanie Brown.
Oh, come on, please.
She's a bit rough.
Come on, she's
she was
a bit
given
scary.
The nickname Scary Spice because of her outrageous, in-your-face attitude, loud
attitude
Leeds accent. Can you do a Leeds accent?
I'm from about halfway up England.
Very good. Throaty laugh. That seems hurtful. Why would that be scary? Her manner of dress, which was often consisted of leopard print outfits.
She's often dressed like a vampire, quite scary.
And her crazy afro hairstyle.
Oh, African hairstyle, scary, is it?
Why didn't they call her Crazy Spice?
Oh yeah, good call. She could have been Crazy Spice.
She's more crazy
of,
than
like,
scary.
Mental illness awareness and stuff like that. I think crazy is, I don't know if it was back
it's
then,
a bit
but
of a
it's
derogatory term.
Been a bit of a no-no.
Yeah,
you can't call someone crazy. Well, yeah. That is just crazy.
Well, Dave, you said
and
it.
And you know what you are, Matt? You're crazy.
You're crazy.
Scary?
No,
that's offensive. Crazy. Please.
Emma Bunton, my favourite. Emma was called Baby Spice because she was the youngest member of the group. She wore her long blonde hair and pigtails, wore baby doll dresses, and had an innocent smile and a girly girl personality. Don't know what a girly girl personality is, but girl. Anyway.
I feel like she's the one that it's hardest to keep up being a baby when you're now in your mid-40s.
Well, I don't know. Like ACDC, Angus is still wearing his schoolboy
uniform.
Yeah,
and
so.
He is a worldwide joke.
How dare you? How dare you?
Worldwide joke all the way to the
yeah.
bloody bank.
Yeah, he's doing A-OK, thanks, Dave. Nice T-shirt over there, you dickhead.
I have a much better fashion sense than Angus Young, and I'm going to put that on record.
Okay, well, you're off the podcast. Next up, Sporty Spice, Melanie Chisholm.
And I would pull off a ball boy and schoolboy outfit better than he ever would.
A ball
Can
boy.
We take that out of context? I would pull off
a ball boy.
Well, now you've just said it out of context.
Oh, no.
Quick, just say it. Got ya.
No, I'm not doing it. I'm not an idiot.
All right. Who's
Sporty Spice.
All right, guys, move over. It's time for my fave.
She usually wore a tracksuit, her long dark hair and a ponytail, and sported a tough girl attitude as well as tattoos on both of her arms. Ooh, tattoos.
That's very sporty.
She also possessed true athletic abilities.
Yeah.
Her signature being able to perform back handsprings. She was always doing like high kicks in their photos.
And she was always wearing tracksuit pants like she was ready to run.
But a crop top as well because she's cool.
Exactly, and she needs support.
Exactly. Jerry Halliwell was called Ginger Spice because of her liveliness, zest, and flaming red hair. Would we say ginger is lively and zesty?
Ginger. It adds a bit of zest to a dish.
She often wore outrageous stage outfits, as like the iconic Union Jack dress.
I don't know if I'd call ginger lively, though. I mean, it's a root. If you see him, it's
just
like a beige looking. When did how is ginger got anything to do with red hair either?
Xander Allen has a joke about that because. Yeah, he talks about how people with mousy brown hair are the real ones we should be teasing. And what colour is ginger? Mousy brown.
Fact.
Yeah, so you're not even the first one to think of that. Shut your beautiful hairy mouth.
You don't think I've thought about that before?
No.
Look at my face.
Look at my face and tell me I haven't thought about the word ginger before. Look at my face.
Look at my face. Okay. I'm not looking at your face. Merchandise. We mentioned merchandise before.
Yeah, pencil cases and pencil cases.
So there was all sorts of crazy stuff. I picked out a few that I thought were quite interesting or a little bit funny. So there was one for Walker Crisps.
Oh, I love them. They're really good chips.
Right? And it was a promotion with over...
Are they thins equivalent?
Oh, yeah. Like, you know,
yeah, they're not crinkled. Yeah.
Yeah. They made over 51 different packaging designs.
What for?
10 for each member. They had their own 10 different designs plus a group package. So that's the 51. They had a Polaroid camera. It was a regular Polaroid instant camera that had pink and purple shell and a Spice Girls badging. And it came along with like a disposable Polaroid camera and a flashlight and stuff. They had their own camera.
That's awesome.
That's pretty cool. Impulse, you know, the like sprays.
Smells so good.
Deodorant. Launched a fragrance known as Impulse Spice.
Ooh.
They also had shower gels and stuff like that. These aren't particularly, like, these are fairly standard for, like, girly products aimed at young girls. But then they also had a PlayStation game as a video game.
Oh, what can you do?
Spice World. It was a computer-animated cartoon of the girls. It was developed in, like, 98. Pretty cool.
So I bet it holds up real well.
Oh, it'd be really cool now. Aprilia scooters. There were five different scooters, each promoting a Spice Girl. And they were created and marketed as the Spice Sonic Effect.
What kind of crossover market scooter would there be in Spice Girls fans and adults who can drive scooters? Ride?
I don't are think it's like a Vespa. I think more like the little push toy scooters.
Okay, I was also imagining Vespas.
Were you? Oh, maybe. I don't think so, but maybe. The favourite one, though, my favourite, is Domino Sugar. The girls promoted sugar as part of as one of their sponsors for their North American tour.
Sugar.
I'm imagining just a bag of sugar with the Spice Girls on
it. Yeah, like, with
like a 2 kilo
up.
Bag of sugar. Oh.
That's amazing. That's very strange. This tour brought to you by the sweet taste of sugar.
Yeah. But like, who are you marketing the Spice Girls at? Young people? You want young people eating your sugar?
Yeah, what? Yeah, who's kids don't buy bags. They eat things with sugar in it.
In it. Don't, not just not bags. Bags.
Not just a bag. That's not the problem.
I want to finish up with where are they now and then a
Before
few fun
you do,
facts. Yeah.
Are you going to talk about the movie at all?
Yes.
Great.
Have you got it?
No, I was just wondering because I love the story about Richard E. Grant doing it only because he's like a legit actor.
Yeah.
And I think he only did it because it was for his kids. Well, you know,
Nice. There's a few little fun tidbits about the movie, but so I wanted to go with where are they now? What happened to them after the Spice Girls? So Mel C, Sporty Spice, she's now 41 years old.
She, oh, my God.
This is really interesting.
She's not that much older. I could still go for it.
I was thinking they'd be older, but I was really just reacting like, that's where she is now? You know, it was meant to be a joke, but it did not. Anyway, cool. And again. Sorry.
So Mel C, Sporty Spice. She currently, this is kind of interesting, she currently is the female artist with the second most number one singles in the United Kingdom and also the only female to reach number one spot as part of a quintet, quartet, duo and solo. So she's hit number one in all of those categories.
So Spice Girls 4 and 5.
And then a duo, I'm guessing, would be Brian and solo by herself.
What was her solo hit?
She's had a few songs.
Never Be the Same Again.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a secret anymore.
No, I'm working.
Isn't
that Spice Girls?
No, I think never.
Oh, cool. Never Be the Same.
Gosh, she's my favourite.
The disc. So she has had six albums. Six? Two, four, six. Yep, six albums.
Wow, when was the last one come out, though?
2012 was her most recent one.
Wow, good on her.
She's still kicking.
She's still kind of going. She's the one who's kind of gone on to do the most music stuff. Like, she just really went...
She always seemed like the one that could sing, right?
Well, I don't like her voice.
Okay.
Wow.
I don't like it.
There it is.
There, I said it.
You put that on record. Are you worried about the backlash about that?
No.
She's the one that could sing, though. Like she was the one, you could hear her singing and everyone else was like dulled in the mix, right?
I don't like her voice.
It's because she's the only voice you could hear.
If you don't like her voice, you don't like the Spice Girls.
I don't like the Spice Girls.
All right, fair enough.
She was in a relationship with property developer Thomas Starr and on February 22nd, 2009, gave birth to her daughter Scarlett. So she's got a little girl. Mel B, she turned more to TV. she did a lot of reality shows, like whether she was judging on panel shows, talent shows, that sort of thing. She also had her own reality series, Mel B, It's a Scary World.
Oh, wow. She also did those Jenny Craig ads.
She's done a lot of radio and TV here in Australia. She had her own video game, Get Fit with Mel B. Pretty sick. And in 2006, she became the subject of tabloid stories because of her relationship with Hollywood actor Eddie Murphy, who denied that he was the father of her unborn second child. But paternity tests suggested otherwise. So her second child, Angel, is the child of Eddie Murphy, which is kind of cool.
I mean, it's hard to blame him. He does party all the time. You're never going to remember all the...
Sure.
All the babies you've had.
Sure.
Party all the time.
All their babies. Emma Bunton.
Remember his hit song?
No, I didn't get the reference, sorry.
Of his song?
Yeah, he had a hit song, Party All the Time.
Emma Bunton had three solo albums, A Girl Like Me in 2001, Free Me in 2004, and Life in Mono in 2006.
Oh, so she's been off the charts for a while.
Yeah, she hasn't done as much. She's married or engaged? Engaged to or married. They're probably married by now. She's married to...
I'm still waiting for the wedding invite. So.
She's married to singer Jade Jones, and they have two sons together. She's done a lot of TV work, either appearing as a celebrity in TV shows or hosting or judging, that sort of thing. Here we go. This would be the prime Emma Bunton TV appearance, is when she appeared as a small cameo role on the Australian soap series Neighbours.
Oh.
In an episode called... What's a Spice Girl Like You... ...
Oh, really?
So she was playing herself.
Yeah, I looked it up on YouTube. Carl and Susan are in London, and Carl's lost a ring, and he's sitting on the street looking all sad, and Emma finds it and saves the day. Good one, Emma.
As herself?
Yeah, as herself.
Wow, she still got it.
It's so lame. When we release this, I've got to tweet the link to that video. Okay. It's fantastic. It's so good. So that's what Emma's been up to. Jerry Halliwell had three solo albums between 1999 and 2005. In 1999, she wrote a biography called If Only, in which she describes her life as a Spice Girl, having only just left the year before.
If Only.
If Only.
If Only she hadn't joined, is that what that means?
I don't know. And in 2006, she gave birth to her daughter, Bluebell Madonna. The father was the screenwriter, Sasha Gervasi, who she dated for 6 weeks in 2005. And Victoria Beckham and Emma Bunton are the godmothers of her daughter, Bluebell.
Oh.
Isn't that cute?
That's nice.
Isn't that nice? Now,
so I would have probably chosen Sporty, but...
Yeah, well, maybe they don't get along
that
well.
As a name or as a godparent?
As both.
Yeah.
Good decision on both counts.
Sporty Bluebell.
Sporty Bluebell.
Sporty Bluebell Halliwell.
Karate.
Oh, that works really well. Sporty Bluebell Halliwell.
That's nice.
So its name is Bluebell Halliwell. Oh,
that's
boy.
A bit much, isn't it?
Bit much.
And that brings us to Victoria Beckham. I left her to last because I feel like she's had the most illustrious post-Spice Girls career.
What has she done since?
Well, she's got a fashion line.
I'm only kidding.
I was like...
It was well sold, wasn't it?
It was. I was like, what the fuck? She only had one solo album. Ugh.
Did she even have one?
Yeah, it was called... Victoria Beckham.
Because she's the one who can't sing the
yeah,
most.
Yeah, she can't sing.
Out of all of them that can't sing, she's the one. That...
She was in an episode of Ugly Betty, though, so she's doing okay.
Yeah.
No, but she's, like, worth millions and millions. Yeah, and married to David Beckham.
I didn't know she was in had a fashion label.
Fashion
I just
label.
Knew she was
and
married
it's
to
very
the
successful.
The
I think she's actually quite a business-savvy woman.
Yeah, no,
oh,
she's,
yeah,
she's
right. No, I didn't
quite
know
talented,
that.
Yeah.
She's, like, she pulls in as much as he does.
Oh, yeah, they're
well,
a
he probably
couple
doesn't even do anything anymore, does he?
No, in the last year, he's made more money since retiring than he's ever had before.
Has he really?
Just because he signed these new deals.
So
I
crazy
think it was something like $75 million for the year.
I wonder if... Did he make any money out of Bend It Over Beckham? That's not what it's called.
Bend It Over Beckham.
That's the porn version of Bend It Over Beckham.
That's not it.
Bend It... He wasn't...
He was a, at the end, they pretend that he's doing a cameo. I watched it like 2 months ago, and... But it's someone that looks like him.
So, no, I don't think he probably made all that much money or anything from that.
Really, yeah. So, you can just call a movie. So, someone could make a movie called
move
Suck It
Like
Stuart or Move It Like
Suck
Matt
It Like Stuart?
Well, that was not ideal. That was not an ideal first instinct.
So good. Like, I'm going to make it. I'll Photoshop up a design.
Anyway, so Victoria Beckham. I've got a couple of interesting...
Sink It Like Stuart, and it's a thing about, like, a billiards competition.
Sink It Like Stuart. What could Perkins be?
Or a plumbing competition, where they're installing sinks.
Installing sinks. It's very good.
Yeah.
Mine's called Will It Like Warnicky, and it's about a lawyer that works in Last Will and Testaments.
Ah, mine's called Preparing with Perkins. It's just about time management.
Preparing with Perkins.
That's good. You should actually make that and become a corporate
I'm face. Terrible at time management. Hence, I was up to 3 a.m. doing this goddamn report.
That's good time management, because otherwise you would have just been sleeping. Wasted time.
What a waste.
You've squeezed more into your day.
You're right. Than you're others. Right.
But please do go on with these Victoria Beckham
so
fun
I
facts.
I can get more into my day. So, in January of 2000, there was a tip-off to Scotland Yard detectives exposing a plot to kidnap Victoria and Brooklyn Beckham, their first child, and hold them at a house in Hampstead in London.
This is the plot for the Spice Girls movie, isn't it?
But it was after the movie. No, it's serious. So there was a plot to kidnap her. So they moved to a secret location. And then later, in March of 2000, she received a death threat prior to performing at the Brit Awards with the Spice Girls. And in the show's rehearsal, a red laser light appeared on her chest and she was rushed off stage. And they found that,
like a gun sight.
A fire door had been lodged open. So somebody had got in.
Oh, God.
How scary is that?
Did you know? I didn't know any of that.
Fired.
No, how scary Spice is that?
That is...
Oh, yes. It was definitely scary. She wanted Beckham for herself.
Yeah, so that's a bit scary, isn't it?
Wow, that's full on. Why, wanting to kill... Like, unless she's personally slighted you, then fair enough, kill away. But... If it's just some sort of weird
fair
fan
enough,
thing.
Kill away.
I think that it's Abigail Kiss and Michelle Stevenson teaming up against their old nemesis.
That could make sense. That's fair game. Fair enough.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Fair enough. She forced him out of the Spice Girls.
Yeah.
And
Posh said that thing about her mum not being sick.
Oh, that's so brutal.
Oh, there's motive.
Motive.
Motive. So Victoria Beckham has participated in 5 official documentaries. I'm moving on from YouTube.
5
plotting.
Official documentaries.
Yeah, and reality shows about her, including Being Victoria Beckham, The Real Beckhams, and Victoria Beckham, Coming to America. Not to be confused with the Eddie Murphy film.
I was about to say Eddie Murphy. That's where he met Mel C.
Party all the time, party all the time.
Was that an Eddie Murphy song?
Yeah, it was a hit song. It was written and recorded by... Rick James, bitch.
Wow, cool.
Yeah.
So obviously Victoria Beckham married to David Beckham.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if there was a connection.
From the film Bend It Like Beckham.
From
we've
the film
Bend It
Like Beckham. They have 4 children, Brooklyn, Romeo, Cruz and Harper.
Brooklyn, Bronx, Queens and Staten.
Alrighty. And as of September...
You're missing one.
From the to the top of Manhattan, Asian, Middle East, something in Latin, black, white, New York, you make it happen.
How much editing do you want me to do?
Is that Wu-Tang Clan?
I'd leave that in for sure. Beastie Boys.
Oh, cool.
From the 5 boroughs.
Oh, that's right.
That's how I remember.
But that's not
that's
their
how
names.
I remember the children of
what are their
the
names?
Beckhams.
What are their names?
Brooklyn, Bronx,
no,
Queens.
No.
And
no, that's not their names.
Brooklyn?
Brooklyn.
Bronx.
No.
Brooklyn?
Yes.
Bluebird.
No.
Brooklyn.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Jeremy.
No.
Brooklyn.
Yes.
Gary Jr.
No. No. Are you done?
Yes.
Okay. And so they've got the 4 children... Brooklyn, Bronx. Anyway, as of September 2015, the couple's joint wealth is estimated at £508 million.
Wow, that's a billion Aussie dollars.
They got a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
Okay. Now, I do have a few fun facts. A lot of them, or there's only a couple that aren't about the movie. I'll touch on the movie a little bit. They produced a total of 9 number one singles in the UK. So they tied with ABBA, who also had 9. They were behind Take That, who had 11, The Shadows, who had 12, Madonna with 13, Westlife with 14, Cliff Richards with 14, The Beatles with 17, and Elvis Presley with 21.
So that means...
they're among some pretty big names there.
That means they're ahead of the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's pretty cool.
Fucking hell. Suck a dick, Stones fans. Beatles are best.
Victoria's the only one... we're in the fun facts, by the way. I feel like I didn't...
oh, fun fact, fun fact.
I didn't talk that up enough before.
Look, the thing about fun facts is, you know. You don't need someone to tell you. You just know.
Thank you. Thank you. That's right. Victoria was the only member of the band who didn't have a number one hit in the UK as a solo artist.
Really? They all had number one hits?
They all had number one hits.
That's crazy. Baby Spice had a number one solo hit.
Sure did. But she also recorded a song for the Pokemon movie. So, you know, swings around about.
Victoria.
Emma.
Oh, right.
Emma. So Baby
Gotta
Spice.
Gotta catch 'em all.
The Wannabe music video was shot in one take.
It's one take. It's really cool if you watch it.
One take.
Which one?
The Wannabe, the first one.
It was really cold, apparently.
They go through that hotel?
Yeah, and the director wanted to do it again, and they were like, mm-mm. Not doing it again.
And they get on the bus at the end. So that by the time he's had like said stop, they're already home. So they've already made a cuppa. That was worth me stumbling through.
And he has to like, yeah, call them one by one.
Yeah, on the landline.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, wait, can we do it again? And Posh is like, I've just made a cuppa.
I've taken my shoes off. Nah, I'm in for the night. So we were talking before about Mel C. This is a sizzle right at the beginning of the program.
Oh, yeah, I love her.
Mel C was coined a Sporty Spice because of her active image, but Emma Bunton was actually the sporty one. She had a blue belt in karate and often would teach the girls how to kick. Her mum, I think, was a karate instructor. She had a blue belt.
You think her mum was a karate instructor?
Is she the one who had a kid called Blue Belt?
No. There was no child called Blue Belt. It's
Blue Bell.
Jerry Halliwell had Blue Bell.
Named after Emma Bunton's belt.
That would have been pretty great if they named their child after a belt.
Now, I've got two facts about the film, and then I think you had others as well.
I don't have any.
Okay, cool.
I just remember, because I'm a bit of a Richard E. Grant fan. I know he was in that movie.
He was, yeah. And I do remember reading something about him, but I didn't note it down.
I think the thing was that because he's in... great movies like With Mel and I and stuff like that. And then he did take this part because I think his kids, he's like, this one's for my kids.
That's nice.
When they see With Mel and I, they're not into it. They're not impressed by me. But if I say I'm in the Spice Girls movies...
they'll be pretty stoked.
They're stoked, yeah. So I think that's kind of fun reason.
Now, Gary Glitter filmed a 4-minute cameo appearance. There was heaps of cameos there was heaps and heaps of famous people cameoing in the movie, and Gary Glitter filmed a 4-minute cameo, but shortly before the film was to be released, he was arrested on child porn offences, and the Spice Girls and the production team agreed that his cameo should be deleted from the final print. Probably a good decision.
Does the film not make sense now, though?
No, I think I don't think the film ever made sense.
Gary Glitter arrives with the secret wand we've been waiting for.
And now it's just, we just got it somehow.
You do
secret
not
want wand. To
see Gary Glitter's secret wand.
But he'll show you.
He will show anyone.
Woof!
And finally, my final fun fact.
Oh, here we go. This better be good.
Meatloaf. Is that right? Meatloaf was in it?
Yeah, and that's my final fun fact. But he plays their bus driver, right? And there's heaps of in-jokes throughout the film. At one point, he's asked to fix the toilets, and he says he'd do anything for the girls. But he won't do that.
That's so bad.
I would do
good. I'm not sure.
Anything for
is that awesome
love?
Or horrible?
I don't know.
But I won't do that. No, I won't.
Clean a toilet.
And thus concludes a brief summary of the Spice Girls.
Oh, Spice Girls, forever.
Spice up your life.
Forever. Forever.
Forever. I don't normally give a standing ovation for a podcast.
Wow.
I've done occasionally a couple of WTFs that really went off, one with the president.
You just started clapping at the end.
Just started clapping, but this one, Jess Perkins, my word.
You've outdone yourself.
All time.
All right, well, it's just can we finish sarcasm.
By saying, if you were a spice, what would you be?
Paprika.
We've got Perkins Paprika Spice, that's good.
I'd be oregano.
Yeah, you would. Would you be, Dave?
I think I would be, it's not a spice, but basil.
Well, it's not really answering the question, yeah, is it?
You ask the question and then you don't even answer it properly.
Well, none of their spices are fucking spices, are they?
That's a good point.
We answered under the impression that we were allowed to be only a spice. If I was just allowed to be anything I fucking wanted to
any
be.
Any sort of
do you think I'd be paprika?
I'm pepper.
You dickhead.
Pepper.
Pepper. That is such a vanilla spice.
Yeah, good one.
I think that makes sense for me.
It does. You're pretty plain.
Vanilla boy.
You're a plain little vanilla boy. So thank you for listening to my rant about the Spice Girls.
Thank you. I reckon you had a great time looking into that one, which is always fun when you look into something that you're a fan of. Thank you very much. If you enjoyed,
I didn't know a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I
found it
a bit, but not
scary about how much of the lyrics are still in my brain. What a waste of space, but still.
And I thought that you were quite sporting about the way you chose
Stop
to.
It.
Thank you, baby.
No worries.
Your ginger
beard.
Ginger.
All right. Well.
All right. Let's go down for a
cup of tea.
Posh cup of tea.
Yes, I was going to go there as well. Thank you so much for.
That's so gross. Can we just edit out most of this?
No, I'm leaving
this?
It all in.
but if
you're
you
the worst.
Don't forget, you can always tweet us at Do Go On Pod, or if you review the show, man, it genuinely it warms your heart, doesn't it, when you see a nice little review there?
Oh, yeah,
on the iTunes.
We have a little group chat and we send each other
screenshots. Look, it's nice.
People like us.
And people are into it. So thank you very much for everyone who's done that, or if you want to do that, brighten up our lives.
And people have started also to send in suggestions.
Yeah.
We're always open to suggestions of new topics. If you have any.
Oh, yeah, and if you're not on Twitter, do go on pod@gmail.com is the way to get in touch.
Or Facebook. We're on Facebook as well.
Oh, yeah. My God. We're on all of the things. But thank you so much. I'll be back next week with my report for you guys.
Ooh.
We've got two musics in a row.
We're going to do three. Backstreet's back. All right.
Dun, 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 dun. I'm going to stop singing.
All right. Well, thank you so much. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Hey guys, Jess here again. Just a quick little note that the Perth Fringe Festival is on at the moment, and Dave's on his way over there in the next couple of days to perform his show Facty Fact versus the Audience. If you like Dave's trivia on this podcast, you will very much enjoy this show. I've seen it before. It's fantastic. It's so good. So make sure you go along. It's on at Noodle Palace in Northbridge, and he's also doing a few shows at the Midland Junction Art Centre, and they're running from Feb 4th to 13th. Tickets and info are at fringeworld.com.au. You and just search Facty Fact and you'll find him that way. So definitely go along and check that out. All three of us have shows in the Comedy Festival in Melbourne, which is coming up at sort of the end of March. So we'll talk more about that as that gets a bit closer and we get less terrified about those shows. So make sure you go check Dave out and we'll have heaps more to plug very soon. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.